It's 2:05 on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC, broadcasting live in exile from the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa Living Room Studios, and it's time to fully reopen the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wang has the week off. He'll be back after he loads up on new televisions and new furniture for his house, other electronics, at various Black Friday sales after camping out for 2 days. That'll only be a month before he has to do it for the Rose Parade. If you're wondering what to get Randy for Christmas, I suggest a sleeping bag and a tent. Although it's California, everyone lives in those anyway. 800-222-KABC is the telephone number, 1-800-222-5222. It is a pleasure to welcome our next guest to the program. I was going to say he's a Seattle-based radio talk show host, but he left Seattle for the Sunshine State of Florida. You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Matera and get him online at jasonmatera.com. Jason Matera, welcome.
Hey, John. Great to be on.
Likewise. Now, what's the traffic like in Florida now? Are the roads clogged because everyone's going there for Thanksgiving?
Not where I'm at. It's thankfully pretty good. But we'll see in 2 days.
All right. Well, it's a ghost town in Los Angeles right now, and everywhere around Los Angeles that's a resort area is absolutely packed to the gills. Lake Arrowhead, Big Bear, Palm Springs, you name it. Everyone is getting out of Dodge for the holiday. Now, last weekend, I spent the weekend out in Phoenix, Arizona. And there were a lot of big-time Republican donors at this conference I was at. A lot of people who gave a lot of money to Donald Trump when he ran in 2016 and 2020. And I was talking to them about what they thought about Trump announcing that he's going to run for president, what they think about Ron DeSantis. And they weren't very loud about it. They weren't broadcasting it. It wasn't like it was their cause celeb. But to a person, every single one that I talked to essentially said the same thing, which is, we love Trump. We love what he did. We thought he was very successful as president, but we don't think he can win. And we think Rod DeSantis is a badass. And we think that he can win. And we think that he can do great things for this country. So we're going to get behind him. Apparently, word has gotten out to President Trump that many of his big donors are leaning that way. And there's a report out today saying that he's going to dismiss them as being too close to China. And that's the reason why they're going for DeSantis and not for him. What do you make of that primary as it's shaping up, or that race for the Republican nomination as it's shaping up? And how vulnerable do you think Trump is to a DeSantis candidacy?
A few thoughts. And I hear the same things here in Florida and talking with both Trump and DeSantis people, which, you know, you can, they're very close to each other in terms of proximity. But you get the sense that there is, you know, Trump has always been a mixed bag, right? I mean, we can rattle off right now his positives and his obvious negatives. And but for us, the positives definitely outweighed the negatives. While he was president, it was a clear-cut case over him than Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden. But there is the sense that if we can get the Trump, that is, if we can get someone who is forceful and advancing this populism conservatism, like this stripping power, defanging the deep state, stripping power away from the elites who really have this uniparty game going in Washington, D.C., and, you know, people like Mitch McConnell and others who have, you know, been in the Senate for, you know, God knows how many years, 80, how many octogenarians do we have controlling both parties? And people are just tired of it. They're fed up, and they saw Trump as that refreshing candor, and generally someone who, you know, who definitely loved America and sought the best in interest and was able to. I mean, you and I remember, John, it's remarkable now that when we talk about big business, it's not synonymous with the Republican Party anymore. But definitely, just within the last decade, if you talked about business, and certainly big business, it had that relation with the Republican Party and the working class white vote. But the working class vote in general was something that Democrats could count on. And really, Trump flipped the script with that. And now you have the Republican base expanding in areas, and I think organically from what it was just 10 years ago. And Trump is largely to thank for all that. But if you look at someone like DeSantis, who has had some, not just owning the Libs victories in Florida, but has had some, you know, substantial victories, defending people's rights, and even being a new Floridian myself, it's remarkable how grateful people are to DeSantis here. You can't, I mean, you can, you know, spin a cat around and hit someone who have voted for DeSantis and will tell you they voted for DeSantis and will grill you if you didn't vote for DeSantis, because there's that much gratitude here. And we saw that just in how badly he annihilated Charlie Crist at the polls. So there is a sense that Republicans want to emulate what happened in Florida around the country. And they think someone with a proven record of governance, and but someone who's not a shill for the establishment could work. So that's what DeSantis brings. Having said that, I was in Trump's Miami rally right before the midterms. The level of enthusiasm that man still carries is remarkable, and I think it would be misguided for Republicans to write him off, whether I see early polls now where Trump is, you know, where DeSantis is leading in some of these primary states. We're 2 years out, really. And I think it's we see whoever is the early favorite generally is not the one who is the nominee. Of course, that could always change. But there's a lot that has to take place. I view it as let Trump and DeSantis and whoever else wants to run. You know, there's the Wall Street Journal has an op-ed about Georgia's governor, Brian Kemp, being an ideal candidate. You know, let these people go and earn our votes and present a case for why they would be the better candidate. That would be profitable for the Republican Party. I do hope, though, that Trump does not have personal attacks on DeSantis and some of these other antics he's been known for, because I don't think that will work. You can't paint, you know, Ron DeSantis as like a low energy jab or all these other, the Lion Ted or anything like that. It's just not going to work on DeSantis because he has a proven record. And number two, I think that would reinforce why there are many Republicans who are exhausted by Trump and are looking elsewhere. So I will see. We'll see how it plays out. But that's my early read.
You know, the thing that strikes me about DeSantis is he's kind of presenting himself as the anti-Newsom, where you have Newsom who's going out trying to do things that create, I guess, national news. He wants to travel to other states and talk about abortion policy, travel to other states and talk about immigration policy, or about going to war with the Walt Disney Company, or any number of other subjects that have nothing to do with California politics. And what he's doing is he's trying to court national attention, so national publications write articles about him, and he gets involved in these national feuds and gets booked on these national shows, and he's trying to inject himself into the national conversation by these artificial sort of stunts that he's putting out there. DeSantis is the exact opposite. He's not responding to Newsom. He's not responding to Trump. He's not responding to any of them. He's just got his head down, and he's staying in his own lane. He's keeping the schools open during COVID. He's not falling for the mask mandates, which they're calling for yet again. That was something the Department of Health and Human Services put out this week. They want the mask mandates to come back at the local level. He is taking care of the state when the hurricanes hit. And his attitude, I guess, is, I'm just going to stay in Florida and make Florida successful. And if the people like me and the people want this to go national, then I guess they'll vote for me. Whereas everyone else seems to be going in the opposite direction.
Yeah, and you see people voting with their feet. I'm one of them who decided to leave the hellscape of Seattle and look for greener pasture. And I found it. And you have many people now with that same story, who are thankful for someone like Ron DeSantis. You know, there's another thing besides just governing well. DeSantis didn't just govern well. He didn't avoid the controversial culture topics. There's always been a strand of the Republican Party, and those usually are with the donor class. They're like, well, you know, maybe you don't want to talk about all these cultural issues, you know, whether it's abortion, whether it's like CRT in schools, whether it's gender ideology. You know, let's just avoid that. And Ron DeSantis said no, and he took that head on. And if we look at the election, while it wasn't as fruitful for Republicans as they had hoped, you look on a local level, and many of these school boards continue to get flipped because they're dealing with issues that parents care about. So I think early on, Ron DeSantis also tapped his finger into the pulse of what people were caring about, what parents were actually caring about, and it were these cultural issues, and he decided that he was going to tackle them head on. And he has that just adds more that he can run on because he's not, you know, acting like a Newsom, where of course Newsom acquiesces to whatever the left wants, but DeSantis can stand on his own record, and it's a mixture of not just the economic and success which is prevalent here, but is also the cultural success. And you know, we saw that too with Disney just ousting their CEO after just a few years. Now they're bringing in a guy who's, you know, maybe no better, bringing back Iger. But I firmly believe that his war with DeSantis had something to do with it. And so DeSantis didn't just take on these people who were, you know, no names. I mean, he took on probably the biggest global brand. Business-wise, there is, and you can say that he won certainly in the public relations warfare that went on. So I think he offers a lot, but the enthusiasm that still surrounds Trump. And I will say this too, John, is if the Justice Department continues, and it looks like they are going to continue with this witch hunt against Donald Trump, we have it's not just the Justice Department. We have now the Democrats in the House, even though they lost, they're still trying to get Trump's tax records and do what they can before they have to give the gavel over to the GOP. So there's that. We have, you know, the DA in New York, in Manhattan now, is looking to drum up charges related to Stormy Daniels and the hush money. I mean, my goodness, who cares about that? Let alone whatever crime that's, who cares, right? But it's this vendetta that is clearly against Trump that his supporters are going to look at and say, like, you know, this man has done so much for us, and he's taken the arrows. In fact, I will say this about Donald Trump is he's withstand more politically than I think we've ever witnessed with anyone, right, running for office. I mean, I can't imagine, I can't think of someone who's withstood more in terms of incoming fire than Donald Trump. And the guy hasn't wilted, right? He hasn't withered. In fact, it energizes him. And people look at that and say, you know what? For all his faults, and there are many, as we can recount, he is the person who can go in there day one in D.C. if he's elected, and now he really knows what to do to dismantle the administrative state. And really, he's taken every single fire possibly thrown at him. Nothing is going to deter him. So there's sort of this attitude that Trump will not wilt under pressure, and there's still an uneasiness about, you know, even someone like DeSantis under, because they just haven't experienced it, and we can see Trump has been experiencing it now for, you know, 5 years.
It's interesting that you said the CEO of Disney lost his job because he went to war with Ron DeSantis in Florida. But there's also a flip side to that. I believe he also lost his job in part because he failed to go to war with Gavin Newsom in California, because Gavin Newsom shut down Disneyland and California Adventure for over a year. And instead of going to war with Gavin Newsom over that, when their theme parks were allowed to be open in the state of Florida and globally, they just got passive aggressive about it and sat back and took their medicine and allowed their theme park and their revenue to be shut down for a year.
Yeah, and that's an excellent point. So where the CEO decided that he was going to be vocal about all the gender ideology and the transgender stuff and really embracing the wokeness here in Florida, Here, you mentioned with his theme parks in California, literally making no money because they're shut down, and that was a war he wasn't willing to go on. You know, at the end of the day, we know that if a business is not profitable and they're losing money, just like Disney is losing money or like CNN, you know, pick your major organization. There's only so far shareholders or boards are going to accept the failure, regardless of if they're beholden to the left or not. And we saw the breaking point with Disney. We saw the breaking point with CNN, or layoffs that are occurring. And we're seeing what's taking place in Twitter and some of these other tech hubs, where they're just getting rid of all the human bloat. And usually they're in the human resources and diversity departments that really add no value. So I think the message at the end of the day is, are you making us money? And if you aren't making us money, no amount of ideology is going to compensate for that financial failure.
This election cycle, and we're speaking with Jason Matera, who you can follow on Twitter at Jason Matera and get online at jasonmatera.com. The subjects that really worked well for Republican candidates were inflation and the economy, crime, and the border. And I've got to tell you, I'm a little bit worried now that Republicans are in control of the House. They don't have the Senate. They don't have the White House, but they have the House of Representatives, that they're going to get caught up with various shiny objects and not deliver on those three subjects, because voters voted for Republicans with the impression that crime's going to get better, that inflation is going to be curbed, that the excesses of the Biden administration are going to be stopped, and something is going to be done about the border. How important is it for them to focus on those subjects and not get caught up with everything else?
I look at it two ways. One is not much progress is going to happen, right? They only control the House, so whatever bills they do pass, they're going to die in the Senate. And if for some reason they got past the Senate, they probably would be met with a veto from Joe Biden, and there's no way there's enough votes to overturn a veto. So I think the best Republicans can hope for is divided government and just sort of a status quo right now for the next 2 years. But what they do need to in that time is to build up a vision of not just, you know, pursue these investigations. I think the investigations are important to a degree, and they can remember Donald Trump's administration was stymied in large part with all these, you know, incessant investigations, and Republicans should be able to do the same thing, but not make it their focus, at least publicly. Publicly, they need to put out an agenda of what they would do if they retake the Senate and what they would do if they would retake the presidency. And all the issues you mentioned, from the economy and inflation and border security and crime, has to be on top of their agenda. And I would also add to that agenda, I think, needs to be parental rights. I think it's a winning issue. People, parents, and the polling shows this. And the results show it too, like with the election of Glenn Youngkin, surprisingly, in Virginia. Is parents do not want to give up their not only their rights as guardians when it comes to education, but they don't want to forego themselves into just being like naked propaganda outlets, where they just give their kids over to the school and shut their eyes as to what's taking place. No, they want to be heavily involved. And Democrats, with their awful COVID closure school policies and the masking, which, you know, probably is going to happen in very blue areas again, as you already noted, and this just insistence to propagandize and sexualize children, parents are just fed up. There's enough is enough. And I think this is a culture issue that they can run on, that most people are with them. And the polling shows that if the question is asked correctly. So I think if they add that to their list, add that to their, you know, their arrows in the quiver, then it can be a very, very powerful message. But I agree with you, you know, overall, if this just looks like, oh, we got the House, now it's a vendetta against Joe Biden, and we're just going to investigate him just because we're investigating him. No, people will get tired of that. Not only will people get tired of that, but remember, the media is going to frame it that way. The media is going to frame it that they'd rather go on these, these rabbit hole investigations that aren't fruitful for the American people. So I think Republicans always have to keep in mind how what they do is going to be reported in the press, because the press is largely Democrat stenographers, and that's just the reality and a barrier that they have to be mindful and overcome in whatever they do when they're in Washington, D.C.
Last question before you go. Fox News' Bill Malusian is reporting that GOP Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy is now saying that he plans to hold congressional border hearings physically at the border to force Democrats to see the crisis firsthand. He says he was shocked and outraged when he heard that the DHS Secretary Mayorkas testify under oath last week that the border is secure. Republicans are also calling for Mayorkas to step down. What do you make of that?
A brilliant move. Absolutely. This is a type of move that Republicans would have never done just a few years ago. It's time to really bring home the border. What do we have? 5 million people maybe in this country illegally now since Biden became president. It is outrageous. It is unsustainable economically. There's no assimilation plans put in place. The Republicans need to bring attention to this. And what better way than going to the spot of the crisis? And hope, you know what, maybe it's forcing Joe Biden to do something different. I doubt it, but, that's better than what he has been doing, and that is just opening the border to, you know, any person who wants to come in. So I think it's a brilliant move by Kevin McCarthy, and we'll see what else he has planned, but that's a good start.
Jason Matera. You can get him online at jasonmatera.com. Follow him on Twitter at Jason Matera. Thanks so much for stopping by, and have yourself a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too, John. Take care.
It's 2:27. Let's take a look at the road. It's 2:38 on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Well, it is Thanksgiving week, which means anytime you turn on the news, there's going to be some reporter standing outside of LAX talking about all of the people who are getting on planes and going to some other part of the country. And I guess also people who are flying into Los Angeles to spend their holidays here. According to the Washington Post, since Thursday, more than 2 million people per day have passed through the Transportation Security Administration checkpoints, which was topped by 2.4 million people per day on Friday. The figures have outpaced last year's numbers and rivaled those of 2019. And then, of course, you have the weather that's going on in places like Buffalo and other parts of the country that are causing delays and cancellations, and you've got yourself a real problem. And you say to yourself, well, why is it that I have to worry about the weather in Buffalo? I don't live in Buffalo. I'm flying from Los Angeles to Dallas. Well, if the plane is coming in from Buffalo, then your plane isn't getting here, and that's going to be a problem for you. I've been debating whether or not to have this conversation with you for some time, because it is a little secret to life that I have that makes life so much easier for me. But if the secret gets out to too many people, then the cat's out of the bag. But I figure in this forum, we're among friends, so why not just share our information, shall we? Here's my secret to life on avoiding these sorts of problems. And maybe it's because I come from working in news my entire life, and I've got people in my family who work in healthcare. And when you work in industries like news and healthcare, it's not like having a government job where you work a 9-to-5, you get all the regular holidays off, you get all the weekends off, and you just assume that the holidays are going to be available for you to spend your time with your friends and family and travel if that's what you need to do. But celebrating holidays on an alternate day and not the actual day on the calendar is so fantastic. In general, doing things when everyone else isn't is something that will serve you well. People always complain when they go to the movie theater. Oh my God, I had to stand in line for so long to get a ticket to the movie. And then I had to wait in line for popcorn. And then I had some annoying kid kicking the back of my seat, and some idiot had his cell phone out the entire time, and it kept ringing. The movie theater was packed. It was uncomfortable. And because of that, I hate going to the movies. Well, it's never like that for John, because John goes to the matinee and it's me and two other people and they're all 85. I never wait in line for popcorn. I never wait in line for tickets. And if a shooter's going to pick a movie to shoot up, I doubt he's going to pick that one. I always sit next to an exit. If there's some sort of problem, I am out that door. Works for me. A lot of people I know really love New Year's Eve. That's a holiday that people love to celebrate. You get to pop open the champagne. You get to watch the ball drop. You get to kiss your special someone. You get to wear the little hat, the funny glasses. And everyone loves to go out on New Year's Eve. Well, not Phillips. I never go out on New Year's Eve because New Year's Eve is a real pain in the keister. First of all, everyone jacks up their prices because they can. Second of all, if you go to one of your favorite restaurants, good luck ordering your favorite dish because they all do the prefix menu, which they also jack up the prices on. Everything's crowded, everyone's in a bad mood, and everyone's on the same timetable, which means traffic is all crunched all at the same time, which is when you're trying to get there and when you're trying to leave. Everyone's been drinking all night, so the roads are filled with drunks, and everyone's loud and obnoxious. I never go out on New Year's. I'll stay at home. I'll watch the television. I'll go in the hot tub. I'll have dinner at someone's house with friends. I am never, ever, 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 ever at some public venue on New Year's Eve. But you can do the same thing with other holidays. You can celebrate Thanksgiving with your friends and family on a completely different day, and you've got a day all to yourself because the rest of the world is sitting in traffic. They're waiting on their canceled flight to get rescheduled. They're dealing with some sort of logistical problem. But you choose to do that. You don't have to do that. Life is so much easier when you're not doing the same thing as everyone else at the same time. The Rose Parade. Everyone loves the Rose Parade. It's something that is very unique to Southern California. It's a tradition that we've been doing for a very long time. It's the reason that people move here from all over the country. Their state is covered in snow. They're watching Pasadena on January the 1st, and everyone's having fun in the sunshine. So let's camp out in Pasadena for 3 days. Well, that's not happening. I'm not spending the night in a tent, in a sleeping bag, on a street in California until some homeless encampment burns down my house. I'm not doing it. I'll watch it on television. I'll look at the pretty pictures on the internet, but no way, no how am I going to Pasadena on New Year's. Because the logistics of putting up with all the BS outweighed the benefits of seeing the floats. What kind of benefit is it to see a float go down the street in Pasadena? It's pretty to look at. People put a lot of work and effort into it. I respect that. The flowers are great. I'm sure the smell is fantastic. But is it worth spending 3 nights on the street? Not for me. Getting in your car with the catalytic converter gone? Turn the engine over, it sounds like a bomb went off? No thanks. Now, life is so much easier if you zig when everyone else zags. And for those of you who think you're missing out on life, you're missing out on experiencing the experience that experiences that few people get to experience, and you really should just bite the bullet and go out. No, 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 no. The juice is not worth the squeeze. I'm sorry. It's so much better to go to that very same restaurant the night before or the night after, where instead of having to fight your way through a crowd of a bunch of people in a bad mood, you get to waltz right on to your favorite table and order whatever the hell you want from that menu. And you've got a server who's paying attention to you and not paying attention to a room full of people. Whenever I look at all of these people stuck at the airport on Thanksgiving, I say to myself, thank God I'm being a couch potato today and I'm not stuck at LAX. Maybe you feel the same way. Maybe you don't. I don't know. If there's anyone who wants to weigh in on it, give me a call at 800-222-KABC, 1-800-222-5222. It's 246. It's 256 on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC, live and local. Coming up later on this evening, Frank Motek is going to have all the latest business news for you. And inflation is, of course, the topic of the day. Although, apparently, we got a little bit of good inflation news today, which caused the stock market to pop by, I think it was something like 400 points. So, Frank will break all of that down for you later on today. Also, Leo 2.0 will be here at 5 o'clock. That is, of course, if he's not on Tucker or one of the shows on Fox News, which is where Leo always is, wearing his Leo 2.0 hat. Hannity? He's Hannity tonight. Okay. I wonder how many hats Leo moves. Because that's a slick-looking hat. It's the red hat with the white writing. 2.0, it says on it. Some of them say Leo 2.0. I'll tell you, I have long thought I need to get my hands on one of those hats. Because when I go out on the golf course on a Saturday or a Sunday morning, I typically wear my Angels hat. And everyone knows me as the Angels guy because I got my Angels hat and then I've got my Angels cover on my driver. And they see that and they have pity on me. But if I switch that out and I have the Leo 2.0 hat, now there's a fashion statement. I'm not saying that I've been rooting for a team that disappoints me year after year after year after year. By wearing the Leo 2.0 hat, I'm saying I'm down with the fair-minded civil rights defense attorney, Leo 2.0, who gives out fair-minded advice every single evening at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So stick around for Leo 2.0 at 5 and Frank Motek at 6. I'll be back at noon for another live and local edition of the John Phillips Show right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.